Next verse from Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. Suvarna Varno Hemango Varangas Changanangadi Viraha Vishama Shunyo Grita Sira Chalas Chalaha. Name 743 is Suvarna Varna. That first line of this verse, Suvarna Varno Hemango Varangas Chandanangadi. Those who are, well, Gauriyas who are familiar with Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and not so much familiar with Vishnu Sahasranam, which is common among Gauriyas nowadays, will tend to think that the second line of this verse is Suvarna Varno Hemango Varangas Chandanangadi Sanyasa Kritchama Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayanaha. Because this is how it's given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, taking the first two lines from one verse of Vishnu Sahasranam and the second two lines from another verse and putting them together to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 743, name 743, Suvarna Varna, which literally means the golden hued, he who is golden. And who is that? Vishnu. It's Vishnu Sahasranam. Gauriyas, see, this is Gauranga. Only Gauriyas recognize the name Suvarna Varna in Vishnu Sahasranam to indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his enchantingly beautiful golden form, Gauranga. Krishna is famously black, blackish. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada uses the word blackish, not exactly black, in the sense of, according to our material vision, Shamasundara, blackish, and very, very beautiful. Krishna is black as Garga, Garga Rishi, Garga Muni, pointed out to Nanda Maharaj about his son, who was obviously blackish in color this time round. But Garga Rishi pointed out, Asan Varnas, Trayohyasya Grinato nu Yugam Tanu Hu, Shuklo Raktas Tata Pita Idanim Krishna Tam Gataha. Garga Rishi said to Nanda Maharaj, is that your son, this boy, this one here, he accepts different forms with different colors in different yugas, indicating that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not saying it directly. And the colors that Garga mentioned are white, red, and yellow, and he said that, and now, idanim, now he has attained the color, or he has appeared as Krishna. Krishna is black. Well, Krishna is black, but he likes the yellow color very much. He likes yellow color, so he wears a yellow cloth and is known as Pitamba. He likes Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. He loves the yellow color of Srimati Radha. His yellow cloth reminds him of her. And because he's black by bodily color and yellow by cloth, he's sometimes compared to a bee, which is yellow and black. And also he's compared to a bee because a bee likes nectar, a bee likes honey, sweet things. So Krishna, he also goes around looking for looking for nectar, looking for the honey of the gopi's lips. But this Krishna has now come as Gauranga. Krishna Varnam means black color. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hisumedasaha. The description of the avatar for this Kali Yuga, as given in Srimad Bhagavatam, says Krishna Varnam. Krishna Varnam means blackish in color, but Twisha Krishnam, but his countenance, his bodily luster is not Krishna, so that it is not blackish. So then we have to say Krishna Varnam to mean something else. Varna, apart from bodily color, can also mean category and can also mean sound. So he is in the category of Krishna. He is Krishna. He's Krishna Tattva, Vishnu Tattva. And he makes the sound Krishna, 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 Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants the name of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam. Even though he's in the category of Krishna, he is Krishna. But his appearance and bodily luster is not Krishna's, I mean something else. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam. He appears with his associates, his subsidiary, his limbs, literally, his bodily his weapons, and parshad means very similar to his associates, and persons in this age of Kali who have sufficient brain substance, as Srila Prabhupada would put it, those who are very intelligent, they worship this avatar by the process of Sankirtan Yajna. And that Sankirtan Yajna was inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in this Kali Yuga. Sankirtan Pravartak Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sankirtan Yajna Tare Bhaje Shedhana. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and whoever worships him by the process of Sankirtan, that person is glorious, that person is blessed. Now, the way that the commentators, who are not Gauriyas, understand this verse is that he who has, referring to Vishnu, whose bodily luster, whose bodily features are attractive like gold. They take it as a metaphor because gold is pure. It's attractive, it's effulgent, it's desired by people. So in that way, they take it to mean that he whose appearance is such that it's very attractive, very pure, very desirable, very pure. One of the commentators gives several examples from the Divya Prabandha, Sri V.V. Ramanujan, that Tirumangai Alava, who was one of the Alavas who composed the Divya Prabandhas, Tirumangai Alava was among the Alava, was one of them who was particularly focused on Krishna, and particularly in a very loving and intimate way. So Tirumangai Alava gives the description of him as he's like a sweet song, fresh honey, shining gold, the flower that the Nitya Suris, the eternally liberated devotees, wear on their head. So in this way, the poets of the South India tradition, they have attempted to describe the attractiveness, the indescribable attractiveness of the Supreme Lord who they worship. They're trying their best with their inspired poetic sense to give justice to this person who has completely attracted their attention. Namalva describes him as the gem that measured the three worlds, who is like incomparable pure gold. And then again, Tirumangayalva, that he describes the beautiful golden hue of he. He's blue, but appears like golden in the sense that is so attractive. It's just in various ways they're trying to express their amazement, their wonder, their appreciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Several of the commentators, including Baladev Vidyabhushan, are in commenting on this name. They quote from Mundaka Upanishad, Yada pasya pasyate rukmavarnam kartarham is isham purusham brahma yonim. That when one sees the Supreme Person of rukmavarnam, golden, reddish complexion, the Lord who is the creator, the overseer, the doer of everything, the Supreme Lord, who is the source of the Brahma Jyoti, Brahma Yoni can be translated in different ways. So that's from Shruti. This is, many of the commentators, they quote this, including Parashara Bhatta. Then from Manu Smriti, Parashara also quotes from, having quoted from Shruti, quotes from Smriti, from Manu, Rukmabham means Rukmabham means light, giving out light like gold. And Swapnadhigamyam means is possible to perceive or conceive of in a dreamlike state. So this gives the idea that when one is not in rational pratyaksha empiric consciousness, when one is just like a dream, just something wonderful, amazing, beyond normal mental processes, one can perceive that golden light of that person. Adityavarnam, famous words. In Gita, that's in Purusha Sukta. His bodily hue is like the sun. That also comes in Bhagavad Gita. Adityavarnam tamasah parastat. Bright like the sun and beyond the darkness of ignorance of this material world. Again from Chandogya Upanishad, again from the Upanishad, this time Chandogya Upanishad. Ya eshantaradiye hiranmaya purusho drishyate hiranmaya smashru hiranyakesha apranakar sarva eva suvarnaha. That golden person who is seen within the sun with golden beard and golden hair, golden altogether, up to everything, apranaka, up to the very tip of his nails, he is very golden. Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 3, text 49, states another meaning of the description of the Lord as having a golden hue. This is in the commentary on this very name, Suvarna Varna, as it appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another meaning of the description of the Lord as having a golden hue is that Lord Chaitanya's personality is as fascinating as gold is attractive. He is golden-hued, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that the sage Vaishampayana, who recited Vishnu Sahasranam, who reciting Mahabharata, he included these names in Vishnu Sahasranam, seeing into the future the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the golden form, Gauranga. But another meaning is that his personality, Lord Chaitanya's personality, is as fascinating as gold is attractive. And gold has some kind of mystic potency to attract people, especially materialistic people. We know the name Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya is another name for gold. He's very attracted to gold. People are very interested in gold. And if you go in an area, just like in Dubai, there is the, where's that, Indira, the gold souk. It's shop after shop after shop, just full of gold, and people are very interested in that, very fascinated at that. And sometimes you see the Arab women there in Dubai. You can't see much of them because they're covered up, but whatever little their hands, sometimes you see they're just covered with so much gold and bracelets and rings, and it becomes very attractive to materialistic people. So in the same way that gold is attractive to materialistic people, the metal gold, that golden form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very attractive to people who have no interest in any of the interests of this material world, who simply desire the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the gold that we want. We don't want the gold of this material world. You give it to us, we'll use it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, we are very satisfied with that. Ah, Premier Dalar Dhala Sonara Anga. The description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His golden form is shimmering and shivering in love of Krishna. His golden form. Charane Nupura Bhaje, and on his feet, his ankle bells are tingling as he dances. So this is the gold that we want. We can tell people, come to the Hare Krishna movement, you will get gold. We'll give you huge amounts of gold, unlimited amounts of gold, by chanting Hare Krishna. So people say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and they find, what happened? All my gold went away. Yasyahamanu grihnami harishe tadhanam shanahi. Krishna says, to those who I show my special mercy, I take away all their wealth. Oh, but what did you get? What are you doing? You could have been rich. You could have had a lot of money. You could have been successful. Here you are chanting Hare Krishna. What did you get? Gold. Gold. What gold? What gold? We don't see any gold. You don't see. You're so unfortunate. We can see in our heart of hearts that golden form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing with his associates, and our only desire is to join somehow, in some capacity, those devotees who are dancing with that golden form, golden-limbed Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This gold, this is the gold that we want. The next name, 744, Hemanga, has a very similar meaning. It's synonymous. Hema is another word for gold. What do we just say? Suvarna. And then Hiranya, in the name Hiranyakashipu. Then we have Hema for gold. And then we have Kanak for gold. Kanaka. There are different words for gold. We find in any language, when something is an important feature of that culture, there are many words for it. So just like in some Eskimo languages, so we're told there are 12 or 13 words for snow according to different kinds of snow. Just like in English for rain, you have rain, drizzle, raining cats and dogs, pouring rain, Irish mist, and all different, because rain is an important thing in the English language. So for the lotus, there are many different terms in Sanskrit for lotus and different types of lotuses. And for gold, there are different words. So hema means gold and anga means limb. So golden limbed. Baladev Vidyabhushan says his limbs are attractive like gold. His whole body is gold, which means his limbs are gold also. They're both words. So, his body is golden, which means his limbs are golden. So it's a way of marveling, relishing, suvarna varna. Oh, he's gold. Hemanga, all his limbs are golden. Prolonging the ecstasy of meditating on the form of Lord Chaitanya as we go through Vishnu Sahasranama. It's by giving another name, which means more or less the same thing, it gives us an extra name to meditate on that golden person who is Krishna, who has appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the commentators, Sri Krishna Datta Bharadvaj, gives the following derivation for this name. Hinvanti vartayanti shobham iti hemani tadrishani angani yasya iti hemangaha. He who has limbs that promote the beauty of his divine body. His body, the very structure of his body is exquisitely beautiful, and the limbs, if we examine each limb individually, they'll find, oh, it's so beautiful. And then again, it's compared to gold in as much as his limbs promote his beauty. The commentators also refer to she who is described as golden, Lakshmi, Sita Devi, is described as golden. And of course we have Radharani as golden. It's a little bit cheating, because it's Vishnu Sahasranam. It's not Sita Sahasranam or Lakshmi Sahasranam or Radha Sahasranam. But we'll make an excuse and go over to Radha also. But that's another whole discussion, Radha Sahasranama. Maybe. I don't know in this lifetime. There's so many things. Krishna reveals himself in so many ways through so many devotees in so many scriptures, and then different devotees can relish different aspects of Krishna and explain that to their followers or whoever want to listen. And then maybe in another generation someone will come and give some inspired understanding that others didn't even previous acharyas hadn't picked up on, just like we have Vishnu Sahasranam. The most venerable Parashara Bhatta, among others, has commented, but it was for Lord Chaitanya to appear to give the direct meaning of Suvarna Varna Hemanga, the golden-limbed, golden-bodied Supreme Lord. And then, after that, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they praise him like this. In there are so many songs described, just like I was quoting from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Premer Dhala Dhala Shonara Anga. They saw his golden body, and then they described that. And we have coming up here Chandana Anga, his limbs are anointed with Chandan, and then so many songs of Lord Chaitanya describing this Chandana Charchita Kai, his body is smeared with chandan, with sandalwood paste. It's never-ending nectar, much better than being in the gold souk in Dubai. Much, much, much better, incomparable. Gold itself, yes, the Madhva Sampradaya. Himeva Angam Vapu Astyeti Hemanga. They say his body is actually made of gold. You're interested in gold? You think gold is very valuable? Well, his form is made of, you think his form is made of gold. You can't think of anything better than gold? Okay, his form is made of gold. Parashurabhata, says that the limbs of his body are eternal, divine, composed of Shuddha Sattva, Sachidananda Vigraha, we say. The qualities of his transcendental form, Parashurabhata describes, Nityam Divyam Sattvamayam Angam Asya Iti Hemangaha, eternal, divine, composed of Shuddha Sattva. Then whatever quotations were there from Shastra, from Divya Prabandhams, were given in the previous verse, also apply to this verse, and another one given here from this Sandhya Vandana Mantra, Deya Sada Savatri Mandala Madhyavarti Narayana Hiranmaya Vahu Dhrita Shankha Chakra, referring to this Narayan who is in the orb of the sun, whose form is golden and who holds a conch and his disc. It refers to the Lord Hari as Surya Narayana, who is golden in form. So we have Suvarna Varna Himango, then the next name, 745, Varanga. Vara. Anga again. His Hemanga, his golden limbed, and Varanga, again, something to do with his limbs. Vara means best, the excellent, the most beautiful. Vara means a boon, Vara means a wish, and therefore, different interpretations use these different meanings. So, he who fulfilled the wish or gave a boon to Devaki in response to her prayers, he appeared in this world as the son of Devaki. Devakyam yachito bhagat. Kunti Devi says, you appeared, she's praying to Krishna, you appeared to fulfill the desire of Devaki. So it's, yeah, oh, here it is, right here. I wrote down the whole verse. Apare Vasudevasya, because Kunti Devi, in her famous prayers in the 8th chapter of the 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, speaks of various reasons why Krishna, who is unborn, appears in this world as the son of Devaki, which it all appears very contradictory. Why does he come? Why does he bother coming down to this earth? Why does he bother at all? Why does he bother? And she gives various reasons in relation to different devotees. The earth was burdened like a boat at sea. He came to glorify the dynasty of the pious kings. And one of the reasons, apare vasudevasya devakyang yachito bhagat, ajastvang asya kshemaya vadhaya cha suradvisham. Some people, others, apart from, she's been giving various evidences, Kunti says, both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, and therefore you have taken birth as their son. You are unborn, yet you took birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. So Krishna appeared to fulfill the wish of Devaki, to fulfill the wish of all the demigods, beginning with the earth, and in this way he revealed his divine form, Varanga, his divine limbs, his beautiful form in this world. If he's going to appear, he's going to appear as he is, which is exquisitely, incomparably beautiful. Then he who has beautiful limbs, and Baladev Vidyabhushan, again quoting from Srila Prabhupada's purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Varanga means exquisitely beautiful. Shankaracharya gives the same meaning, exquisitely beautiful. He who is exquisitely beautiful. It's so ironic and contradictory that Shankaracharya, on one hand, is describing the beauty of the Supreme Lord's limbs, revealing that, but on the other hand, he also speaks of the Supreme Lord as ultimately having no form whatsoever. So all these descriptions are as if of an imaginary person. So if we take the bright side, we've heard the saying, take the bright side. Take the bright side of Shankara. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam. That we should take. And all this stuff about no names, no forms, no personality, just throw all that stuff out and we'll dance with Shankaracharya in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. So here we have three names in a row, which all describe the beauty of his form: Suvarna, Varna, Hemanga, Varanga. Radha Krishna Shastri, commenting on these three names, shows the subtle difference between them. Suvarna, one who has, whose form is naturally of sheer exquisite brilliance. Hemanga, one who has beautiful limbs that attract and hold the attention of everyone. Varanga, one who has all the samudrika lakshanas brought together in one place in his form. Samudrika, this refers to a section of Garuda Purana called Samudrika, which describes the physiognomy of great personalities. So, Suvarna Varna Varanga refers to one whose form has all the attractive features, all the divine features, all the auspicious features, all in one place. So just as a mundane form invokes lust, a very, very handsome man invokes lust in a woman. A very beautiful woman invokes lust in a man, but Lord Chaitanya's form, Lord Vishnu's form, the beauty of his form, invokes bhakti, pure loving devotion, in his devotees. Tiruvaranga is a well-known and popular name of Ranganatha Swami in Sri Rangam. He can be called by many names, can be called by thousands of names. He's generally known as Ranga, Ranganatha, but one of the names by which he's well known, Tiru, which is the equivalent of Sri Tiruvaranga. And the idea given is that he protects us all. Varanga in Chaitanya Charitamrita is also described in relation to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that his vara, taken here to mean the best or very big, he has very big body, very tall body, with very long limbs, big limbs. Ajanulambita Bhuj, the first words of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Ajanulambita Bhujo, both Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have long arms extending down to their knees. So in this way, their limbs are very big. They're also, the next name is Chandanangadi. His limbs extend down to his arms extend down to his knees, and he's smeared with chandan, smeared with sandalwood paste. This especially refers to his features as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Suvarna Varna Hemango Varangas Chandanangadi. These two lines taken from Vishnu Sahasranam referred to Lord Chaitanya in his householder life, because although in his sannyas life he's also very beautiful, but it's due to his having accepted the status of a sannyasi, it's somewhat inappropriate to mention or to even think about him in bodily terms. When he's a householder, then you can see what a magnificent form, how beautiful. Then it's quite all right. And Chandanangadi, which is the next thing, that means his limbs are smeared with chandan, which he won't have in his sannyas pastimes. By the very nature of sannyas, one doesn't smear the body with sandalwood pulp, although one may take a little of the sandalwood pulp from the Lord on one's head as prasad. And then the next sannyasakrit, the next sannyasakrit chamashanto, nishtar shanti parana. This refers to him. The next two lines refer to Lord Chaitanya in his sannyas pastimes, having accepted sannyas. So let's just get on to the next Chandanangadi. Now, what we can say is the obvious meaning, chandan, sandalwood, and then his limbs are anointed with sandalwood. But there are other meanings also. Baladev Vidyabhushan, as do other commentators, take Angada to mean bracelets. Angada means bracelets, so. And chandan can mean that which is pleasing. We say chandan for sandalwood. It's pleasing. But the chandan, the word itself, has a broader meaning than sandalwood. It means that which is pleasing. So his bracelets delight the mind of his devotees. And noted here is that these names, they don't... Chandanangadi is not primarily a name of Lord Chaitanya, although it can refer to him, but it can refer to other forms of Vishnu also. So Chandan means that which gives pleasure. And then the next word, Angada, means that which protects or which cherishes, which purifies. So the term is used for the bracelet on the arm. And here the commentators explain that the bracelets of on the upper part of the arm, you'll sometimes see in old pictures, thick bracelets on the upper part of the arm. Armlets they should be called, for men. And these are not simply decorative, but they have a purpose as protective in fighting, because when you're fighting with a sword or whatever, the enemy will try to cut your arm, so then you can't use a sword or you can't use a bow and arrow. It renders you largely unfit to fight. So having armlets on the upper arm, that's also as a defensive measure. But naturally, the Vedic culture being one not simply practical, but also aesthetic. Everything will be decorated very nicely. So even though the armlet is primarily for protection, but then most of the time you're not fighting, so you want to look nice. So you have nice armlets also. Prashabhata says that the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is itself the best jewel, the best ornament. It's already unlimitedly beautiful. And the ornaments, usually people put on ornaments to make their body more attractive, but the ornaments that are put on the body of the Lord, they derive attraction from the body of the Supreme Lord. They become decorated. And then if we use ornaments, that decorates our body, because they derive from the original ornaments on the body of the Supreme Lord, which derive beauty from that of the Supreme Lord. And to say he's Chandanangadi, one who is beautified, or a beautiful, one of the many beautiful features of he, is the one who has beautiful armlets, but that's just indicative of so many ornaments on his body, and every feature of his body, every speck of his body is unlimitedly beautiful and attractive. Therefore, his name is Krishna. That's one of the reasons why his name is Krishna, his beautiful bodily features. Jewels, every part of his body, we find in Vedic culture there are ornaments for all parts of the body. The ornaments in the part of the hair for the women, and then like this across on the top of the forehead, and from the earring to the nose, there's something put like this all over the body. Sri Ramanujacharya in his work has called the Sri Vaikuntha Gadyam, has described the beauty of the Supreme Lord's body, beautifully decorated. Several of the descriptions he has given. Ati Monoharak Kirita Churavatangshak Makara Kundala Graiveyakahara. So Ati, very much stealing the mind, very much attractive, is his Ramana. Sri Ramana describes his helmet on the top of his head, the decoration on the top of his head, with his Makara Kundal, his earrings, the famous earrings of Lord Vishnu. They're shaped like a makara, which is sometimes translated as shark, some kind of sea creature. And then he has his necklace is described. Keyura, that's what we're talking about here, Chandanangadi. Keyura means the upper arm bracelet. Kataka, his armlet, that's for the lower arm. Srivatsa, special mark on his chest. Kostuba jewel. Mukta, a pearl. Dharma, some kind of ribbon. Udara bandana pitambara. There's a ribbon of pearls, a girdle of pearls tied around his stomach, and pitambara, golden, dressed in a yellow dress. Kanchi gunanupuradi biyatyanta sukha sparshai divya gandhai bhushitam. These are some of the descriptions of Ramanuja as he's seeing the Supreme Lord in his divine vision. Says that he has a kanchi, a girdle around the waist. And his qualities, like his transcendental qualities, like the tinkling bells on his feet and everything else about him, they just give unlimited happiness to himself and to us, just if we try to touch his divine qualities, his divine fragrance, all these qualities which decorate him. He himself is the jewel. Vishnu is called Chandanangadi because Sati Angadane Iti Chandanangadi. He has shoulders. His shoulders give happiness and joy. Then Ananta Krishna Shastri gives the interpretation that he has chandan on his body, which is very pleasing to him. It's very pleasing to the Supreme Lord when people put chandan on his body. That's the deity in the hot season. Coming up is Chandan Yatra. We didn't get to the hottest part of the summer yet. During the hottest part of the summer, we have Chandan Yatra, in which the devotees, they work very hard making chandan paste, which is applied to the body of the Lord. And the devotees, in the tremendous heat of summer, they feel their whole being cooled by seeing the Supreme Lord, cooled by the sandalwood paste, which is applied to his body. It was very pleasing to him. He's very pleased that his devotees take the trouble to make that for him and apply it to his body. So another way to understand this, he provides us with all the means and ways to be happy. This is a meaning given by Sri Satyadeva Vashishta, that everything happy, whatever happiness there is in life, in material life, the happiness is of poor quality and not real. In spiritual life, the happiness of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing in all respects. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam karitam avyayam. We directly experience transcendental bliss. That is given by Krishna. He's given us the ways and means to be happy. So this is a verse, this is a meaning which we can understand, Chandanangati. And actually it's a fact, isn't it? When we come into a temple, we see the form of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, we bow down, we feel the whole atmosphere. Ah, oh, very nice. We automatically feel very happy. It's automatic. We feel happy. We chant the names of Krishna. Krishna is very happy, and he makes us happy. Another meaning, this is given by Sri Satya Sanda Yatiraj. Chandanangadi. Who is this Angada? Angada is, in Ramayana, we find the son of Vali. Vali was slain by Lord Ram. And then Angada, he plays a major role as the son of Tara, the wife of Vali, and the nephew of Sugriva and the prince. Angada is very pleasing to Lord Rama and very devout, very devoted to Lord Rama. So he played a major role, first of all, in appeasing Lakshman and Rama when they were getting fed up with Sugriva. Sugriva promised, we helped Sugriva, and Sugriva promised he would help us to find Sita, and now he's just whiling his time away, enjoying himself. So Lakshman and Rama, they were angry, but Tara and Angada, by their wise intervention, they cooled down Rama and Lakshman and said, yeah, we're doing so. We weren't able to do anything because it was the rainy season, but we've called all the Vanaras, they'll all be coming tomorrow. And so he pacified them, and then Angada, and and of course Hanuman also advised Sugriva, hey, come on, you got enough drinking, enough fooling around. It's time to fulfill your promise to Rama to help find Sita. So then Angada, he was a major figure in Ramayana, and he among the many great warriors of Ravana's army who Angada killed was one of Ravana's sons, Narantaka, and the chief general of Ravana's army, Mahaparshva. So Angada was a great personality in Ramayana, and he's very pleasing to Lord Rama, and the name Chandanangadi can be understood in relationship to Angada, giving pleasure to Lord Rama. This is the understanding given by Sri Satya Sanda Yatiraj. So there we are, four names, Suvarna, Varna, Hemango, Varangas, Chandanangadi, which refer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They refer to all forms of Vishnu also, but especially we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we particularly see these names in relationship to the beautiful golden-formed, chandan-smeared Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to whom we offer our respects at his lotus feet and beg for his mercy to be always engaged in the service of his devotees. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakam padaya nipatya Krit-vacha-kakushatame-tadaham-bravimi. Hey, sadhava-sakala-eva-vihaya-durad. Gauranga-chandra-charane-kurutanuraga. Parivadatu-jano-yata-tata-va-nanu-makaro-navayang-vicharayamaha. Hari-rasa-madhi-ramadati-matta-bhuvi-vilutama-nartama-nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.